I think we got an important result. There is the biggest participation of indigenous peoples in all COP history. Because participation is already an important result to guarantee protagonism and advocacy. But now for the second week, in this final phase, we are expecting the recognition of indigenous territories and the demarcation of these territories as a climate policy, one of the most efficient solutions to confront the climate crisis.
On Friday, indigenous people like yourself stopped the climate summit, saying that their rights weren't being respected. They had a flotilla. They also just blockaded the entrance to COP 30. What were your thoughts about that?
Por isso que foi importante essa COP acontecer aqui no Brasil.
This is why it was important that this conference happened here in Brazil, in the Amazon, after being realized and organized in three countries that did not allow democratic manifestation. And Brazil, as a democratic country, understand that this is important, social society can and should protest, and we were able to guarantee their participation also inside of the COP. We guarantee the participation in the Blue Zone of 400 indigenous representatives chosen by its own organization. So the indigenous movement inside the COP, it is represented. But as COP is also not only the Blue Zone, we also have indigenous representatives participating in all the other spaces, such as the Green Zone. We have a space called the Circles People, where we have like a daily program. We also have the COP Village Aldeia COP that received 3,500 indigenous peoples lodged there, and we also have programming there for them. So we estimate that at least 5,000 indigenous peoples were in the city from all over the world participating in all of the spaces and also in this People Summit. So it is here allowed that every people can bring their own demands and they can protest, since they respect also the rules of the United Nations.
So there are more indigenous people, almost 1,000 registered at this COP, than there have ever been. But there are also over 1,600 fossil fuel lobbyists. What effect does that have?
Então, essa foi uma das grandes motivações.
So this is exactly one of the biggest motivations that we had to try to guarantee the highest number of indigenous peoples here. When we were in Dubai, we were celebrating 350 people in the Blue Zone, but in the end, we had like one indigenous for seven fossil fuel and mining lobbyists. So we were trying to work. We are working harder to try to overcome the Dubai numbers so that we're more, we have one indigenous to each two lobbies of the fossil fuel and mining. So this distance, this gap is getting smaller. So we would like to overcome this and be the biggest participation in them.
It's not clear if it's as a result of the protests, but in the last few days, Brazil has recognized the indigenous land rights of in a way that it hadn't before. Do you think that is because of the protests that took place last week?
Bom, essa entrega é resultado de uma grande articulação do Ministério dos Povos Indígenas.
This announcement is the result of hard work and engagement of the Ministry of Indigenous Peoples and the FUNAI, the Indigenous Agents, so that we can come here with concrete results to show. Besides the land demarcation and titling, we also announced the commitment to protect and title 63 million hectares in the commitment, the intergovernmental land commitment. And from these 63, 59 million hectares are lands that will be protected or titled by the Ministry of Indigenous Peoples, but we also have more power from the Ministry of Equality, Racial Equality. So all these lands that were announced yesterday is the result of the engagement and the coordination that the Ministry of Indigenous People has been doing internally in the government to have these results announced here.
Not long before the COP began, Brazilian President Lula approved oil drilling off the coast of the Amazon. He's been criticized by many environmentalists. Can you respond to this as his minister, his indigenous minister?
Primeiro, que não foi uma autorização para a exploração do petróleo.
First, it's important to clarify that it's not the liberation for oil exploitation. It was the authorization for the studies to understand the impact of the oil exploration in this area. So also it's important to say that Minister President Lula announced here the phase-out mapping for oil exploitation so that we could create alternatives and phase-out. Because it's really common that sometimes oil will be lacking from some cities and there will not be any other alternatives for that communities to move. But then it's important to have a clear map and a clear activity, actions so that we can diminish our dependency of the oil and look for other alternatives. And we are committed to that.
President Lula has also talked about a fossil fuel phase-out plan. Do you think this is possible? And what are the forces working against that?
É sempre desafio.
It's always a challenge. It's not simple. It's hard. Because there is a dispute, a big one, with the economic sectors so that this change do not happen. So we need to make sure that agreements done at COP and commitments done at COP can tackle this, because the world knows the impact that oil exploitation fossil fuels does, the risk of us achieving the point of no return. But these sectors, the economic sectors, need to understand this is an emergency. So we need to have a clear decision here in this conference to stop depending on fossil fuel.
The violence against indigenous land defenders in Latin America is the worst in the world. I'm wondering how you think Lula is dealing with that, how you think it can be dealt with. The number of deaths continues as people try to protect the land. What measures have been taken?
Brazil has just launched a national plan for defenders, Earth defenders. We are also working to approve Escazú Agreement passed by the House of Representatives and now is going to the Senate. And we really think it is important that that will be also approved not only by the House of Representatives, but also the Senate. And there is a big effort of the Brazilian government and executive power to work to guarantee this approval. We also have a plan to combat the racism that is also being launched by the Brazilian government and a security, a public security plan, because unfortunately we have in the indigenous territories 60% of the force of the justice, Minister of Justice is there trying to combat violence and attacks in the indigenous territories, but we know that forces like the military forces or security is not the only way of combating the attacks. We need to get public policies to get into the territories, and advancing the demarcation is a way of doing this.
You and Alessandra Korda Munduruku Sifu and other indigenous leaders took on Bolsonaro in a big way. Can you talk about the significance of him being sentenced to decades in prison and what his presidency meant for Brazil, particularly indigenous people?
It was a really hard moment for indigenous peoples in Brazil. Together with the neglect and the offensive attack from Bolsonaro, we also had a pandemic where he not only neglected the pandemic, but also he was responsible for some measures that was against us. He attacked our rights, took our rights, so it was a very challenging and hard moment. We react, we organized, we were fundamental to be able to destroy fascism. So Bolsonaro now is judged and condemned, and we really expect that the justice will be done. And if he's sent to prison, we expect he will be paying for all his crimes. And that's what we expect, that justice can recognize, and so he can pay for everything he has done against us.
President Trump, the president of the United States, has increased the tariffs on Brazil until the case is dropped against Bolsonaro, the case against him attempting a coup against Lula in the same way that President Trump was accused of attempting a coup in the United States. What do you think of Trump demanding that Bolsonaro not go through the justice system, not be imprisoned?
É inaceitável, né? Tanto que o presidente Lula foi muito firme.
This is unacceptable, and that's why President Lula was very firm, and he has a strong position to defend the sovereignty of our country and to strengthen our democracy. And the Brazilian people was together with him, besides him, supporting his position to defend our sovereignty.
I wanted to ask you about criticism of the COP being in Belém. On the one hand, it brings the world's focus to the gateway to the Amazon. On the other hand, people have said, you know, a four-lane highway was built that cut down some of the rainforest. What are your thoughts?
Eu acho que a primeira coisa é que escancarou racismo muito grande da sociedade contra a Amazônia. Muita gente...
I think like the first important thing is that this just like show and like make it clear the environmental and the racism that we still have. People are saying that there's no condition for a COP to be able to be realized and organized here. And that was also fruit of prejudice against the people that live here. So beyond forest, people need to understand that we have a culture, we have people, and we have a diversity of people that protects the Amazon. So it's important that the world know that it's not only forest and animals that lives in the Amazon. There are people living there, people that are being attacked, assaulted, they're having their rights violated, and that they need protection. On the other side, here in the Amazon, exists the needs and demands coming from the population of infrastructure, because in many places we have a very hard access. So who needs to say if there is bad or good impact? It's the people that live here.
That is Brazil's First Minister of Indigenous Peoples, Sonia Guajajara, here at the UN Climate Summit, that's COP30. In the Brazilian city of Belém, the gateway to the Amazon. Next up, is the Amazon rainforest being pushed beyond the tipping point? We'll speak with the world-renowned Brazilian climatologist, Carlos Nobre. Stay with us.
La mujer del hombre pobre se conoce. Yo, hoy que anda tu el camino dando voz. anda sucia, anda rompía.
Yo, hombre, yo.
La mujer del hombre pobre todos los días.
Yo, hombre, yo.
Es que cuando no anda sucia, anda rompía.
Yo.
Que lo sepa.
Yo, yo, me, yo.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. We're broadcasting at the UN Climate Summit, COP30, here in the Brazilian city of Belém, the gateway to the Amazon rainforest. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. As we broadcast, there's a protest right behind us by the Loss and Damage Youth Coalition, where they are holding a banner that reads, "From opinion to obligation, respond to loss and damage."
We end today's show with one of Brazil's most prominent scientists, Dr. Carlos Nobre. He's a senior researcher at the Institute of Advanced Studies at the University of São Paulo and co-chair of the scientific panel for the Amazon. He's a lead author of the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, that won a Nobel Peace Prize in 2007 for its reports on global warming.
For decades, Carlos Nobre has been warning the Amazon rainforest is being pushed beyond the tipping point. The Amazon rainforest is almost as large as the contiguous United States. Carlos Nobre, welcome to Democracy Now! It's an honor to be in your presence. You have been warning for quite some time, and now it's getting more serious than ever. What is the tipping point? And for a lay audience around the world, explain to us why the biome of the Amazon rainforest is so important for the world.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Yes, I've been working for 43 years with the Amazon. I was the first scientist in 1990, 1991, publishing science articles saying if we continue with very high deforestation, the Amazon would cross the tipping point. But that was 1990, 91, 36 years ago. Now the Amazon is very close to the tipping point. Why do we say that? Because from the Atlantic to Bolivia, Peru and Colombia, this is 2.5 million square kilometers. The whole forest close to 7 million square kilometers, but this southern portion, very close tipping point. The dry season is 4 to 5 weeks lengthier in 45 years, 1 week per decade. It was 3-4 months, but with rain during the dry season. Now it's 4 to 5 months, 20-30% drier, 2-3 degrees warmer. So, and also, tree mortality has increased a lot in these areas. In the southeastern Amazon, south of where we are, the forest has become a carbon source. It's losing more carbon than removing. So if we continue, deforestation is about 18%, degradation 30%. If we reach 20-25% deforestation, global warming close to 2 degrees, we cross permanently the tipping point. We are going to lose up to 70% of the Amazon within 30 to 50 years. If we continue with global warming and deforestation, we reach tipping point by 2040. So by 2100, we're going to lose 70% of the Amazon. We'll release more than 250 billion tons of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, making it impossible to maintain the global warming at 1.5 degrees. We are going to lose the highest biodiversity in the planet. So terrible. And also, the Amazon recycles water so well that about 45% of the water vapor that comes from the Atlantic Ocean, transported by the trade winds, goes to the south of the Amazon and feeds more than 50% of rainfall on the tropical savanna south of the Amazon. So, and also the Atlantic rainforest, So it's really essential. If we lose the Amazon, not only the Amazon forest will disappear, but the tropical savanna as well.
If you could also talk, Dr. Mnubre, in addition to increasing heat and the dryness that you talked about, you've also said that livestock grazing is a form of ecological pollution. Now, Brazil is the world's second largest producer of beef. If you could talk about what the impact of cattle ranching has been on this deforestation of the Amazon.
Yes, of course. I mean, 90% of the first deforestation in the lowlands in the Amazon in Brazil is related to cattle ranches. And when we compute, Brazil is the only country in the world where 70% of fossil fuel emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, come from land use change. About 70% of emissions, 40% deforestation, and about 20-25% this comes from agriculture, but mostly for cattle ranches. Particularly the cattle emits a lot of methane, so all ruminants. So we say 55% of emissions in Brazil related to livestock, you know, the deforestation for cattle ranches and also the cattle emitting methane. So really we need urgently to get to zero deforestation in all Brazilian biomes, especially the Amazon, and also merging to the so-called regenerative livestock. Regenerative livestock, we have about 15% in Brazil of regenerative livestock. And very little. The regenerative livestock reduces a lot emissions by livestock.
And, you know, in Brazil, as you well know, Brazil is one of the world's largest agricultural exporters, which means the alternative that you mentioned may compensate, but presumably it would be a massive economic loss to Brazil if their agricultural production were to go down. But as you were mentioning earlier, though, there has been a commitment by countries here to work on a roadmap to get to zero deforestation by 2030. So there is an agreement there, whereas there's not a majority of countries signing up to the roadmap to phasing out fossil fuels. So if you could just talk about, I mean, the countries that are in part dependent on agricultural exports, what would it mean to diminish cattle ranching? And I mean, you've become, in fact, vegetarian as a result of this.
Oh, listen, mostly livestock. Average productivity is very low. Brazil has about 1.5 heads of cattle per hectare. This is very little. Brazil has about 3.2 million square kilometers, mostly livestock and also agricultural. So regenerative livestock will have 3 to 5 heads of cattle per hectare, reducing emission, and also the regenerative agriculture and livestock is much more resilient to the climate extremes. For instance, last year, Brazil had a record-breaking drought in the Amazon tropical savanna, Cerrado, and a record-breaking decline of agricultural productivity. So, therefore, Brazil can continue being a tremendous high producer of meat, agriculture, soy grains, using not 3.2 million square kilometers, but maximum 2 million square kilometers.
I want to ask you a question about climate science. You have said that it's a mystery to you. The country which invested the most in climate science, a country with the largest number of climate scientists and very few who deny climate change, which contributed the most to the IPCC report. How is it possible this country elected a climate denier? And we're talking about the United States. But talk about the significance of the billions of dollars dollars being removed from science research in the United States and the effect that has all over the world?
Well, that's a very good question, because in fact, I mean, I create a name, because all tipping points that we know in the climate, more than 20, they are all associated with ecological, biological, hydrological, ocean-related tipping points. But I think in all the world, in democracies, we are creating, I quote unquote, a social political tipping point, which is, it's not only in the U.S. In many countries in the world, democracies, we are electing more and more populist politicians. U.S. President Trump, Argentina President Milei, Brazil elected former President Bolsonaro, totally climate denier. Deforestation increased a lot in those 4 years. That's happening all over the planet. So this is I even gave a name in the West. I said this social political tipping point is the Trumping point. Why we are in democracies? As you mentioned, the country with the top science on climate change, U.S., always for decades. Why U.S. democracy electors are electing a climate denier president? This is very serious.
And you've said, Dr. Nobre, I mean, it's remarkable, as you said, with these right-wing governments being led in part by Donald Trump, the fact that this roadmap to deforestation was agreed. You've said that COP30 is a critical critical climate summit. Explain why and what you hope is going to come out of this. It's formally concluding tomorrow, but it regularly goes beyond that date.
Yes, that's a very good point, because all of us scientists, we say this COP30 has to be very important. I mean, as important as Paris Agreement, as important as COP26, when all countries agree in reducing emissions. But now we have to accelerate reducing emissions. Yesterday, we, the Planetary Science Pavilion people, we hand-deliver our declaration to all negotiators, and I hand-deliver to President Lula as well. We say, in addition to zero deforestation in all biomes, tropical forests, by 2030, we have to accelerate reducing of emissions by fossil fuels. We say, ideally, zero fossil fuel emissions by 2040, no longer than 2045. No questions, because the temperature is reaching 1.5 degrees within 5 to 10 years permanently. If we only get to net zero emissions by 2050, we may reach 2 degrees and even more. It will be a tragedy, an ecocide for the planet. And when I present this document to President Lula, he said, also four times he said, I was in a meeting with him, he said, this has to be the most important COP of all COPs. Let's hope in 2 days now, countries will agree not only zero deforestation of all tropical forests by 2030, but zero fossil fuel emissions by 2040.
We want to thank you so much, Carlos Nobre, leading Brazilian scientist, world-renowned climatologist, senior researcher at the Institute of Advanced Studies at the University of Sao Paulo, co-chair of the scientific panel for the Amazon, where we are right now. We're in Belém, the gateway of the Amazon. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.
Did you know the Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group, aka SFPERG, has been leading social and environmental activism on campus for 40 years? SFPERG is student activism, by students, for students. Do you have a vision for a brighter future? Are you passionate about changing the world? Visit us at www.sfpir.ca. That's www.sfpirg.ca to learn more about getting involved today.